Gospel for Grampian listeners, it's Myrtle and Angelina from Women of Africa Care. We get to, in the month of March, celebrate Women's Month. Yes, 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 Gospel for Grampian listeners. Women's Day is on the 8th of March, but as women, we like to extend our celebrations, especially when we have got so much to celebrate about in this current dispensation as women. So as we celebrate International Women's Day for the entire month of March, even though there's one day allocated on the globe for Women Month, we are going to talk about today what are some of the key aspects of being an empowered woman. What women need, what women want. You raise a woman, you build a home. You raise a woman, you build a community. You raise a woman, you build a nation. You raise a woman, you establish a continent. And so with empowerment comes responsibility and accountability. So as we celebrate Women's Month, let's talk about our responsibility and our accountability as empowered women. So before we talk about some inspiration by our respectful, honorable Dr. John Maxwell and some of his inspiration around leadership and influence, I want to just talk about what women need, what women want. Now, when you study Maslow hierarchy of needs, it describes the needs and wants of people, right? Human needs and wants. The basic human needs is food, clothing, and shelter. Humans need that. And similarly, a want is a desire that if I don't have it, it's not going to affect my survival on the earth. Whereas a need, if I don't have it, my survival is going to be affected. So what do women need? Meaning, what is essential for them in order to be effective as women? And what are the ones that if they don't get it, can they still be effective? You know, when you look at a little girl, you can see how manipulative she is when she doesn't get what she wants. And I think Myrtle's going to talk a little bit about that when she talks about what women want and when they don't get what they want, how they behave. But we need to be responsible as women and say, we need to grow up now. We can't be manipulative and victimized mindset as empowered leaders. You know, in society, when people are insecure or rejected, they become manipulative. They feel they're victimized, and therefore it's always gimme, gimme, gimme attitude. And sadly, we are in the women empowerment industry where we empower women and youth. You see that victimized spirit in a lot of women and young girls, the rejected spirit, and they manipulate because they don't get what they want, rather than seeing and valuing that what they need, they have. And so it's very important for us as women, Gospel for Grampian listeners, to define what our needs are as women. God has given us a potential. How do we feed that potential in terms of identifying our needs? Because when we know our needs and we have those needs met, then we can exercise our potential. Then wants are things that are just adds on that won't affect us in our place of purpose. But a lot of times women, because they've been messed up and no one has walked the journey with them, because there's not a lot of matriarchs and role models that actually take the time to develop women, that they're confused between a need and a want. And sometimes, Myrtle, what they do is they end up focusing towards the scale of wants and forget to think what they need. And they end up messed up because instead of being in a place of flourishing, they're in survival mode. Because your foundation of success is making sure your needs are met, isn't it? The basic, when you look at Maslow hierarchy of needs, Myrtle, your basic needs have to be met in order for every other desire to follow. If I don't have food, clothing, and shelter, then the need for a car is insignificant, because having a car, yet I don't have food, clothing, and shelter, is irrelevant. I need to survive first. My body needs to be healthy, a roof over my head. I need food and clothing. I need to cover my nakedness by having clothes. Imagine I have a want such as a car, right? I have a car to drive, but I don't have food, I don't have clothing, and I don't have a home. So there's order. And women that have not been educated will end up wanting the car where they don't have their food, clothing, and shelter needs met. And similarly, using that analogy, women, what do you need and what do you want? Define it. Your need must make you live a life where you are able to have purpose. Your want is a nice to have. But if you focus and weigh on the want and you ignore the need, you will never be able to be an empowered woman that can raise up your home. You'll end up pulling your home down. So, very quickly, one thing you need to learn today before we carry on further, women of Gospel for Grampian listeners, make sure you define what your needs are and what your wants are, and ensure that your needs are met as first and foremost priority. Then focus on your wants, because if you do it the other way, you are in trouble. And I think that's where Myrtle's going to go and tell them, if you don't get what you want, what happens?
Angelina, Alan Edwards wrote this, "I'm easy to please. Just give me everything I want." A colleague had that sign on a desk, and it always made me smile every time I saw it. At face value, it's a simple enough life philosophy. Getting what you want makes us happy. Does it really? What if what we want isn't actually good for us?
Wow. Just park that. Did you hear that, Gospel for Grampian listeners? She's just saying now.
What if what we want isn't actually good for us?
That is so pivotal to the need and want principle.
Or what if we don't really know what we want?
Wow.
How then will we know if we have it?
Yep.
And if we don't know what we want, can we then ever really be happy?
Wow.
I'm pretty sure my colleague didn't intend to inspire these kinds of deep and kinds of questions when she innocently put that sign on her desk. Nevertheless, there is no doubt that we all think we'll feel happier if we have what we think we want. So, Angelina, so what happens then when we don't get what we want? Do we throw a spectacular tantrum worthy of a 2-year-old? Do we sob or stomp our feet? Pout or give out the silent treatment? Yo, Angelina, that one I don't like.
That's manipulation.
I'm telling you. Sometimes, depending on your personality type, not getting what you want may actually end up being a good thing.
Absolutely. You know, Myrtle always tells us this, that, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. I love that. Not my want, but let your want be done. Will is desire, right? I think about Jesus. He knew going to the cross was a big price, and he didn't know if he could do it. And he went and he prayed. And he prayed 3 times and he says, Lord, let not my will, but let your will be done. Because he said, I don't think I can go through this, but nonetheless, let your will be done. And we have to understand, women of Gospel for Grampian listeners, there's a price that comes with power. Power means empowered. Empowered for something. Empowered to do something. The Bible says we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not below. We are seated in heavenly places at the right-hand side of the Father in Christ Jesus. What that is saying is that we have ruler and dominion in Christ on the earth. When the devil took dominion of the earth through Adam and Eve sinning, Adam and Eve had handed over the dominion over to the devil. Therefore, earth became the devil's domain. The minute we become born again, we then take back our domain. We take back rulership. We take back dominion. Now, in there, Myrtle, God doesn't say, men, you are seated in heavenly places at the right hand side of the Father in Christ Jesus. It says we are seated. There's no gender discrimination. Even when the Bible says we are the head and not the tail, it doesn't say, women, you are below, and men, you are the head. There's no discrimination in terms of gender. It says we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not below. And being in headship and being in dominion and being in rulership middle means there is a price to pay for the power of dominion and rulership. If there wasn't a price, women of gospel, for Grampian listeners, Jesus wouldn't have went on the cross. It took a spotless, sinless person to give their life up for the price of rulership and dominion, to be on top, to be their head and not the tail. And with that comes discipline, comes order, comes accountability, comes responsibility. So as we celebrate International Women's Month, let us do what Myrtle is saying. Don't seek the once without understanding the price of that once. Because if it is not good for you, you cannot exercise your dominion in the way God wants you to. You're going to be like the woman that's behaving like a two-year-old, like as Myrtle says, throwing a tantrum, putting on a silent treatment, and that's just plain manipulation. For a man that's seeking peace, Myrtle, he's going to give her everything she wants in the interest of keeping the peace. Better to be on the rooftop than to be with a woman that's arguing and noisy and rowdy. Now, I'm thinking, imagine the man gives her whatever she wants, lets her throw her tantrums, and give her whatever she wants just so that he can have peace, to the detriment of losing everything.
You know, Angelina, rejection is protection.
I love what you're saying. Rejection is protection. If our loving Father doesn't give us everything we want, but gives us what we need, then why then are we women not thinking about the price of a need and a want? So as we celebrate Women's Month, Gospel for Grampian listeners, I'm not saying we all are doing that, but I'm saying let us take account of what we need and what we want. And if we don't get what we want, let us not throw tantrums, but let us seek the Father and say, Father, if this is not what you want for me, remove this desire, because the price of my wants can cost me my destiny, can cost me my salvation.
Amen.
Okay? So without further ado, we want to do something very inspiring today. For International Women's Day, my team and I enjoyed a wonderful inspiration by Dr. John Maxwell, who's the leader and the founder and the CEO of Maxwell International. And he spoke about transformation. And he says, to be an effective leader, it's all about influence. And he says, leaders are influential. He says, everything about leadership is influence. And he says, to be influential, you have to have six pitches that you have to transform. There's six pitches that requires transformation. And so myself and Myrtle are going to high level honor Dr. Maxwell on radio today as we present some of his descriptions on the six pitches. We are not Maxwell International and we are not John Maxwell, so we will never do justice to the presentation the way he does. So we will encourage you to go into the G4G website and look up the write-up that we're going to give you. At the bottom there, we put a link on the actual YouTube video recording so that you can go after the radio station and listen to the depth of the inspiration that Dr. John Maxwell gives so that you yourself can be transformed, because it transformed Myrtle and I and our team that we had to share it for International Women's Day celebration to your Gospel for Grampian leaders so that you yourself can be inspired as we celebrate the great strides of women empowerment. In order for us to be effective, we have to be influential. So there are six pitches that a person of influence goes through. And so we're going to speak about those pitches today. So the first picture is a self-portrait. Talk to us about that, Myrtle.
A picture of myself. Transformation starts with myself. I can't look elsewhere to see transformation in order to influence others. No, I have to first start with myself. When I am transformed, I then become contagious. I become a message that influences others. Why were the disciples in the book of Acts so successful in administering the gifts God gave them, Angelina? They look behind themselves. You cannot give off what you don't have. You can't look behind if your ambition for transformation is self-focused only. To be a person of influence, we must be willing to transform so that we can make a positive difference in others' lives. We reproduce who we are.
Wow.
What does your self-portrait look like, Gospel for Grampian listeners? Is that what you see in self-pleasing unto God? Angelina's favorite statement is, transformation is a process and not an event. Is that not so, Angelina?
Yes, you know, saying that, Myrtle, transformation is a process, not an event. Transformation, there's no arrival date. We always, every day, become better than the day before. So that is why it's a process and never an event. Doesn't the Bible say, Myrtle, we go from glory to glory?
To glory.
Exactly.
So as we embrace a spirit of influence, the first and foremost picture that must come to mind is a self-portrait that is valuable to follow.
I love that. If I can just interject there, that got my attention. Am I a person of value that is worth reproducing in others? Imagine, Myrtle, if I'm not a person of value, what will I be producing? So I love what she says, and this is exactly, we're just sharing the inspiration from Dr. John Maxwell. This is not our material. This is not our inspiration. This is really us just telling you what we drew out of him, out of his inspiration. Yes, Myrtle, you know, it's so imperative for us to ensure that we are valuable, because if we're not valuable, how can we add value?
Yeah, if you are selfish, self-focused, and only seek the chance for self-success, then your transformation process will create an arrogant, self-centered, prideful, self-enrichment state of attitude. Our motivation for transformation must be to be a light to lead others into their success journeys.
Wow.
A person of influence is called to take others where they haven't been, to acknowledge they are valuable in your sight.
I love that. You know, the transformation process that he talks about is never about how good you are, but it's more about when you are in the presence of other people, do they feel valuable? That's what he's saying here. When we transform, when other people are in our space, they feel valued. They feel valued. How many people, you know, when we hang around them, we feel devalued because of the self-focus, because of the pride, and because of the arrogance.
You know, Angelina, I was crying yesterday. This man is so bold and he's so honorable. What a beautiful person.
A powerful man.
Because he is absolutely amazing.
He's so humble. I felt extremely valuable in his presence.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking, how many people we know that are influential out there and we don't feel valuable in their presence? If anything, we feel undervalued. And that is actually very sad. So as we go through the picture of transformation to be influential, the first picture is a self-portrait, meaning are you transformed to the extent that when other people are in your personal space, they feel valuable? If they don't, you need to go work on yourself, because there's a possibility that you've got some selfishness in you, some arrogance in you, and therefore other people are intimidated to be in your presence or uncomfortable to be in your presence. Yeah. So picture two that Dr. Maxwell talks about is partnership. He says partnership is critical. So say this after me, Gospel for Grampian listeners. I am a partnership. God's vision for our lives is always bigger than our human eyes can see and requires more than just self to fulfill it. That's why Jesus think that he didn't need people because he did a lot of miracles, signs, and wonders. But guess what? Jesus needed 12 disciples to change the world. So we have to look above and beyond in order to succeed, because Jesus had to change the world at that time and the future. He had to leave a legacy for the generations ahead to build on. 2,000 years ago, he raised up 12 people to continue the legacy that he started. So if we are doing God's will for our lives, then we have to have partners that come into our life, because our vision is beyond ourselves, it's beyond our time, it's beyond our era. It must pass on to the generations to come. Therefore, partnerships are relevant for today, for tomorrow, and for the future sustainability of the vision that God's given us. So we need partnership, okay? Mother Teresa was called to God to serve as a missionary in India, and a philanthropy movement changed impoverished regions globally. She recognized in her journey of missionary that partnership was critical to improve lives globally and to continue the movement when she passes away. Her experiential quote, she says, "You can do things I cannot do, Myrtle. And I, Myrtle, can do things you cannot do. But together, Myrtle, we can do great things." So to be a woman of influence, a gospel for Grampian listeners, we need good partnerships. Partnerships that share the vision, that will pass it on to the generations to come. A vision from God is not a now, start now, end when I die. A vision from God is sustainable even when I leave the earth. I think about Dr. Miles Monroe. He's passed on, and we listen to his inspiration regularly. Here, his legacy moves on through his children. They play his material. I mean, just last week, we needed inspiration on how to do business God's way. And what did we do? We listened to one of Dr. Miles Monroe's business inspiration. When we need leadership, we tap into Dr. Miles Monroe, because he's one of the greatest transformation and inspiration in the world. That is what God's vision for our lives. It leaves legacies for others to build on. So partnerships are necessary, okay? I love what he says. John Maxwell says, "Identify your streams of influence. Who are the stakeholders you need that are influential in the places you call to influence, and build partnerships with them? For example, we in women empowerment, and we need to develop partnerships with leaders in women empowerment that share our vision. Because if they don't share our vision, their partnership and my partnership is wasted. Now, partnership is effective where my partnership with them influences their journey and their partnership influences our vision. So identify the streams of influences in your vision, in your business, in your place of purpose, and partner with people and with companies and with stakeholders that will help you build and help you get to the other side, travel to the other side of the world that you need to go to, but you can't do it on your own. You need others to come on board to help you go there. What about picture three, Myrtle?
Picture three is the ladder. Helps people climb higher, climbing where they have never climbed before. If you're helping them climb where they have climbed before, then you are not influencing them. Influence is taking them where they have never been before. And it requires your influence to help them to get there. We help people improve their lives. As women of influence, we are ladder holders. We want to make their journey of success a secure climb so that they gain confidence and courage through the ladder climbing experience. We hold the ladder and stay with the ladder climber until they too are on top.
Yep.
Staying is what John Maxwell calls value others.
Staying is what John Maxwell calls value others. I love that. When you know, when he describes the ladder, he's really talking about us. as in we holding the ladder, meaning, and we are holding them and supporting them as they climb up their vision, as they climb up in their place of purpose, until we see them right on their top of their place of purpose. So how many ladders are you holding today, Gospel for Grampian listeners? Whose ladders are you holding? Have people, have women, have young girls who are building up, who've got great visions for their lives? Are you going and holding them up and encouraging them and motivating them because you see them as people of value and you want them to achieve their end goal? As empowered women of this dispensation, we are called to influence because we have the power to do so. We have the accountability and the responsibility to do so. And I love what he says, Myrtle. He says here, there's three types of helping when you help people. The one help is, if I see you hurting, I will comfort you. If I see you broken, I will fix you. But he says, if I see you valuable, I see that you have great value and I serve you. He says the attitude of a servant is so much different to those who help one in hurting and who help one in broken. Those influences are short-lived, meaning only when you need help because you're hurting, I'll help you. Or only when you're broken, I'll help you. But he says when you begin to see a person as a whole, as valuable, then you walk the journey and you serve them the way Jesus served those disciples, teaching them to reach their destiny. Seeing the potential in Peter. Peter saw himself as a fisherman. Jesus saw him as a leader of the early church. Do you understand? And that is what it's all about. Are you seeing people as people of value? Because I can tell you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, when you see people of value, you will begin to serve them and walk the journey with them and hold them in terms of their vision, helping them not to let go of their vision, becoming others focused. You know, Philippians 2:3 tells us, Myrtle, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. John Maxwell says, great leaders always serve. Great leaders always wish the best for others. As empowered women today, Gospel for Grampian leaders, how are you serving? You'll know you are serving right when you look at the people that you are serving. Do you see them as valuable? Are you even seeing people as valuable? Are you even seeing people as valuable? Because, I mean, I think about Dr. John Maxwell. You know, he sees people as valuable. So valuable that Myrtle, he left his church so that he can help more people.
You know, Angelina, John Maxwell's leadership trained 6 million people because he understood the heart of a servant. He wishes the best for others, therefore wanted them to climb the ladder for success while he held the ladder of counsel. Inspiration, empowerment, self-help tools, school of leadership training, etc. That's the wonderful man he was.
Yes.
He is.
He had a servant's heart and therefore decided, I need to use it to make a difference. I mean, when you listen to his story, Gospel for Grampian listeners, he says that at the age of 20, God told him that he's called to raise up leaders. And later on, he realized he loved evangelizing. So he served in the church. He shepherded a church. And then he had the desire, I need to help more people. I love people. As a result, he went and he served 6 million people. Him and his team throughout the world raised up 6 million leaders through inspiration, like you said, through counsel, through empowerment. We ourselves got empowered yesterday afternoon through Dr. Maxwell International Leadership. And that is what it's all about. A great leader serves others. They always wish the best for others, and that is what Jesus wanted. I mean, to the extent that Jesus said, Simon, Simon, I've interceded for you that your faith will not fail you. Why? Jesus already saw that Peter was going to be the leader of the early church. The church that Jesus introduced in the New Testament, he saw that Peter was going to be that leader. Therefore, he applied grace when Peter denied him. He applied grace when Peter wanted to do cut the person's ears and save him. He applied grace. Satan tried to persecute Peter. Jesus interceded for him that his faith will not fail him. And he said, when you are strengthened, when you have overcome the persecution, strengthen the leaders, strengthen the others. So Jesus served Peter, yet he was higher than Peter because he saw Peter to be somebody great in the vision in the future. So how are you serving Women of Gospel for Grampian listeners? Are you seeing beyond yourself? Because empowerment is about influence. You are not able to influence anybody if you don't see beyond yourself. You need to be able to see for them. You need to be able to see the gifts in them, the talents in them, and in order to walk the journey to help them complete that race on getting to the top. But you cannot see that when you are self-focused. You cannot see the best in others and hold their ladder for them if you do not see them as valuable. So as we celebrate International Women's Day, how many of you Gospel for Grampian listeners that are women seeing others more valuable than yourself? If you're not, you are not going to be influential. Then you have to go and listen to this entire YouTube by Dr. John Maxwell to improve in your leadership skills. Let's look at picture four. Picture four says, the next level of transformation is the heart, which talks about your values. He says the picture of the heart reveals our values in life. And he says our values in life, it is about being bigger and better on the inside than on the outside. He says this, he says, is the value of life. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. He says, when we have good values, we become valuable to others. People welcome us and they welcome our faith. They believe us because they see the way we live and what we believe, and they see this consistency. The way we live and our expressions outwardly expressed is a mirror to scripture. The values that we exhibit is expressed outwardly. And therefore, he says that your values are necessary and it reveals who we really are. And he says, so your picture four, you need to look at your heart and pick up what are the values in your heart. If there isn't integrity there, if there isn't a truth there, if there isn't honesty there, if there isn't a love there, if there isn't love there, you cannot see other people as valuable because the Bible says you need to love others as you love yourself. You can't love others if you can't love yourself. So if you don't have self-love, knowing that you are the beloved of God, how are you going to love others with God's love? Hey?
Amen.
And if you're not kind, how will you be able to exhibit kindness? So what are the values in your heart? Picture four, go and assess the values of your heart and ensure that it's in line with scripture.
Then picture five, Angelina, is very, for me, that's very interesting. Because if you go to Starbucks, for example, you see people buy coffee and they go sit around the tables. And it looks so comfortable. People talking to each other, they don't even know each other. So Dr. John Maxwell says that table, small groups. Transformation happens at one table at a time. He says it is a small group that people begin to trust, open up and share experiences. And that's where life change happens. Having perspective enable us to influence others. Perspective happens at the table of small groups.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you can be in a group of an entire auditorium with people, And you'll never be able to get perspective of them. And therefore, it's difficult to influence because you're going to give a generic inspiration. I like what he said. He said he had to give an inspiration to a multinational group of people. Well, not multi, it was more. It was a whole group of people from different cultures, different countries, etc. And he had one common message he had to give them. And he said, how on earth am I going to dissect it to all of them? Because they're all from different cultures and groups. Are they even going to comprehend it? Because I don't understand all their perspective. And the Holy Spirit said to them, ask each table, put them all in a table. Give each of, mix them up in a table and ask each table three common questions. And then from the common questions, they will all have perspective of one another and their views on the common questions. And he says that was how he understood that to be influential, you need to get together in small groups because you hear their heart, they hear your heart. Trust happens. Openness happens, like Myrtle says. And then you are able to have much more impact in terms of influence. So picture five of a transformational journey for someone to become a leader of influence is you need to be involved in small groups. You can go to church where you have small groups on a weekday, which is like a Wednesday, or go to coffee once a month or, once a week or every second week to, with people. Or like, I love what you said, go to Starbucks or Mug and Bean and just randomly meet some people and say, let's have coffee. Get to know people in little groups, because when you're in a little group, people open up more. And then you get to understand one another's views and perspectives of life. And before you know it, you then get the opportunity to share something about yourself. He says him and his team were able to bring 1 million people to salvation on a yearly basis in the last few years. And he says the reason they could do that was because of him following this transformation pictures of 1 to 6. He had the opportunity to talk about his faith because table five made him understand their perspective. They felt comfortable and trusted him, and therefore they asked him a little about his faith and he could share it. See, he then got the opportunity to evangelize.
Amen.
The calling was leadership, raise leaders. The second was evangelism. And through his place of purpose in raising up leaders, through this transformation process, he could tell people about his faith and be an evangelist. Picture six, I love. This talks to me because this is something I love. I love building bridges. I always say, don't burn your bridges, because we all need bridges to build from. Why reinvent the wheel when somebody built a bridge, and that you can walk on? So he says, picture six is bridge, crossing over to a better world. And here he says, bridges are designed to help people cross over to a world they haven't been. And that world is a better world. He says, bridges have two purposes. It helps the influencer to cross over to the people to gain perspective of the way they live and to see them as valuable. He says, then that bridge takes the influencer and the people that he's influenced over to the other side so he can take the people he's influenced to a place they've never traveled before, but they must go on. So remember, a person of influence, like Myrtle says, takes people where they haven't been. And so that is what picture six is all about. Me going to the other side of the bridge and understanding about people's perspective in life as a leader, and then bringing them back to my side where they've not been. And as we embrace International Women's Month and we celebrate Women's Month and our strides and our achievements, as empowered women, let us strive to be influential. Not influential in the way where everybody knows just me, myself, and I. Or influential in the way where they just want to give me an opportunity. Influence in the world of Dr. John Maxwell is, how am I creating value in other people's lives? How am I influencing other people's lives? How, they say you can give people what they want, but they will remember more how you made them feel than what you gave them. And this is what influence is, how you made me feel versus what you gave me. Can I say that you indeed had a part to play for me getting to the other side, because that is what influence is. How many people are talking about you, women of Gospel for Grampian listeners, in terms of how you made them feel versus what you did for them, as in giving them things? So as we celebrate Women's Month, we speak about these six pictures and we say, I'm just going to go over it again. There are six pictures for you to become a person of transformation, a person of influence. As leaders, it's all about influence, and to transform to be an effective leader, a sustainable leader. The picture one is a self-portrait. What does your self-portrait look like? Is it something that you can reproduce that is worth looking at? Are you happy looking at yourself when you see others following you? Because if you don't like what you see in others when they follow you, that means you don't like yourself. So you got to change your self-portrait. You're not influencing them in a good way.
Amen.
The second picture of transformation is partnership. I can do things you cannot, you can do things I cannot, but together we can do things. To leave a legacy for generations ahead to build on, you need partnerships. Picture three, ladder. Who are you holding? Who are you seeing valuable? How many are you seeing valuable? Don't focus on who's holding your ladder so you can always go up success ladders. Rather focus on, let me esteem others more highly than myself. Okay? And because remember what I said to you, the Bible says, great, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Great leaders always serve. Say Dr. John Maxwell, great leaders always wish the best for others. If you're not serving and you're not wishing the best for others, women in Gospel for Grampian listeners, then you are not a great leader. You are a selfish, arrogant, conceited, prideful, gimme, 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 I want to be on the top only leader. And that is not what influence is all about. Picture four is the heart. How is the values in your heart? Are the values that you exhibit good for other people to see the light of God in you? Because the Bible said, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Pure in heart means unstained. Look at the side of your heart. What comes out of your heart when you pressed? Evil or good? If it's not good, you need to go and look at your picture four. Your heart needs some transformation. Picture five, small groups. I love what Myrtle says. Go to Starbucks, go to Mug and Bean, go to Wimpy, go have a coffee with some strangers. Find out people's perspective. You know, when I hang out with people, I ask them a lot of questions. I sometimes think they must think that I'm so forward. Why am I probing and questioning everything about the person? I find value in understanding other people, because if I want to influence them, then I need to understand them so that I can help see the best. I mean, I'll bring out the best in them. So small groups, hang out in small groups. If you don't know how to do it and you're shy, go to a church small group on a Wednesday night. Christian Family Church has lots of it. Get into a church on a Wednesday if you're shy to go out to a coffee shop. But me and Myrtle, we love Starbucks and we love Mug and Bean, so we not shy to go to coffee shops. And then picture number six in your transformation process is go over to the other side of where you are. You are on the better side of the world. You're a leader, you're empowered, you've been where nobody has been. Decide to go to the other side where the people are. Identify people of value and help bring them across to a world that they have not touched. Don't be selfish and stay on your side and never going to help those. So bridge, crossing over to a better world, bring some people across, okay? And as we continue, and we've got like 13 minutes left, we are going to now talk about, now that you know the process of transformation, let's talk about some characteristics of a noble woman. In the book of Proverbs 31, the Bible highlights the character of a royal daughter. And in there, King Lemuel's mother was telling him, this is how a royal daughter should behave. And as Gospel for Grampian listeners, we are born again children of the Most High God. We are daughters of the King. And we have certain protocol behavior. We belong to God's kingdom. That is our monarchy. And there's certain protocol. So let's talk about certain of those characteristics today. So one of the characteristics in Proverbs 31 is, a noble woman is worth far more than rubies, meaning she is rare. You know, that is sad. When it says she is rare, meaning there's, we are supposed to be like this, but there's so little like this. So as we now getting the opportunity to be empowered gospel for Grampian daughters of God, please let us encourage one another to be worth far more than rubies. Let us become who God has called us to be, more precious than precious stones. The Bible says it's rare. That means it's hard to find. Let us rise up. Jesus paid the price for all of us to be like that. Let us not become rare. Let us all have that common behavior as part of the royal protocol daughters.
She brings him good, no harm, all the days of her life. She is a builder, not a pull downer.
I love that she's a builder, not a pull downer. Did you hear that gospel for Grammy listeners? A daughter of God brings good and not harm. As we celebrate Women's Month, are you bringing good or harm in your places of influence? If you are pulling down, you've got a big problem because that means you're selfish, right? So start building up people around you. People are valuable. Build them up. Then let's read verse 15. She gets up while it is still night and she provides food for her family. We read here that she's a caregiver. Are you caring? Do you give to the needs around you? If you're not, then you are not behaving like a royal daughter. A royal daughter cares about her family and her household.
In verse 16, she considers a field and buy it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. And her lamp does not go out at night. So in other words, she has the power to create wealth. And she is wise in wealth creation.
Wow. So our empowered women, you have the ability to make money and manage money. So please, if you don't know how to do that, go for some financial fitness empowerment. Or go and investigate with Dr. John Maxwell if he's got any training on financial fitness. But you are built to manage money and create wealth. Don't be lazy with your mind and your hands. I love this one. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. Here we're reading that she's a philanthropist. It is innate in you, gospel for Grampian listeners that are women, to be a philanthropist, to help the poor and the needy. So please, work on that if you don't have that skill.
Then verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She is a fearless and brave.
She is fearless and brave. If you don't have those qualities, you need to go and look at your transformation self-portrait picture one. Okay, verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. Yes, she's strong and she's dignified. Again, picture 4 tells us values, the heart. When you got good values, you're a dignified woman. Again, if you don't have these qualities, go look at those transformation pictures. Please, you are called to be strong and dignified. That is your royal protocol.
And then verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. So in other words, she's a role model.
She's a role model. So yes, I love this Proverbs 31 description of our protocol as women of God. And again, if you're having a problem identifying how you should behave, what your heart should look like, what the qualities of you should be like, or what is your definition as a woman and as how God would have you behave and live like, then go and follow the transformation picture 1-6 that Dr. John Maxwell mentions, and it will help you be an effective Proverbs 31 woman. So as we close our talk today, we are going to talk about some famous quotes around women empowerment. I love this one. This is by Eleanor Roosevelt, and this is around strength, okay? As we say, women are strong. She says, a woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong she is until she gets on hot water. So gospel for Grampian women listeners, you're called to be strong, okay? So when you are in the heat, don't run away. It's normal. That's where you get to rise up and show your strength.
Then, Angelina, as you get older, you realize you have two hands, one for helping yourself and the other for helping others. Aubrey Hepburn.
Wow.
Women, you are called to influence. Esther put her own life on the line to save her people, the Jews. She says, if I perish, I perish.
Absolutely. You
and
know,
that was Esther 4:16,
yes.
Angelina.
Myrtle, I love what you're saying. Aubrey says, when you get older, you realize you've got two hands, one for yourself and one for others, because you can't take people where you haven't been, and you can't help other people if you can't help yourself. So you have to take care of two sides, yourself and other people's self, okay? Because you see others, you see yourself in others. So that's why you take care of yourself. I love the part about 1 Samuel 25 about Abigail. She saved the lives of many, even her husband, after he was angry with David. I mean, I'm thinking about the story when David and his men went to Nabal and said, please, can we have some food? We are hungry. You know, we were toiling the whole time protecting, fighting the army against us, but we were also protecting you all in the same line. Would you mind and be kind as to give us some food? And Nabal was stingy and said, no. And David was coming to wipe him out and his family. And Abigail ran forward, cooked a whole lot of food and took it to the king, bowed down, humbled herself, applied wisdom and said, please, king, forgive my husband. She had wisdom and humility to go and save her people while her husband didn't. So that is having two hands. I'm going to save my people because my husband can't. And I'm going to use strategy to do that by feeding them exactly what they wanted. So I like this one by Maya Angelou. She says, a wise woman wishes to be no one's enemy. A wise woman refuses to be anyone's victim. Now, this comes back to John Maxwell's principle of leadership. Leadership is influence. A woman of leadership is brave, courageous, and bold. She holds ladders. She esteems others more highly than herself. She doesn't wish for any enemies, and neither does she tolerate victimization.
Angelina, Kavita Ramdas says, we need women who are so strong they can be gentle, so educated they can be humble, so fierce they can be compassionate, so passionate they can be rational, and so disciplined they can be free.
Wow, wow, wow. So these are some amazing quotations to help us as we celebrate International Women's Day and ending this beautiful afternoon of inspiration. I love the quote that you spoke about with Kavita, that you're gentle yet strong. Don't underestimate a gentle person and think they are weak. That you are educated but humble. Why do we say that? Because the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Therefore, good character is necessary. So your character is humility and your knowledge is education. If you have education in the absence of character, you are puffed up, you are prideful. So as educated, empowered women, make sure you have humility that is the foundation of your experience, because if you're educated and have all the knowledge and have no humility, believe you me, it's going to be a battle finding value in you. I like this one as well. When you say, she says, so fierce that they can be compassionate. I mean, that's like ambiguous, but yes, fearless, meaning don't mess with me, but you know what? You can't mess with me, but don't underestimate the fact that I might have power, but I do have compassion. Hey?
Yeah, that's true, Angelina.
Compassion.
Compassion is a big thing,
yes,
in our lives.
You know, I mean, I think about me. If you have to put me in a place where you have to see the strength, the fierceness in me, because I need to stand up like an iron wall at certain times, people will think that I don't have compassion. Hey?
You are a strong woman. That's why you are like that.
So don't be, it's very easy to be strong and not have compassion. That's why I love what he says when he talks about values, the heart. If you are strong and you are educated and you are fierce and you are passionate, but do not have values such as compassion, such as humility, such as gentleness, such as discipline, you are in trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Right? So, Gospel for Grampian listeners, as we close our wonderful International Women's Day celebration for 16th of March inspiration, please listen to what we have said now. You need to be strong, educated, fierce, and passionate with gentleness, humility, compassion, and discipline and understanding as a value in your heart. In the absence of values, your characteristics of strength and education and fierceness and passion will take you down the wrong way. You will want and not have your needs met. You will want things like Myrtle says, but it's not good for you. And then you're in trouble and you won't be able to be an effective, influential leader. You will be a leader that where you will only reach a certain level and that's it. You know, I've heard the saying that says your education and experience can take you at a specific level, but it is your character that will sustain you there.
Sure.
Character, that good character is cast in your heart. It's your value system. Happy Women's Day.
Women's Day.
Make sure you have good character.
Ta-ta. Please help the people to climb that ladder. Don't you stay on top and see the other at the bottom.
Naughty, naughty, naughty. Bless you. Ta-ta. Bye.